Hello and welcome to Just Needs, a podcast where we talk about parenting children with disabilities. I'm your host, Christina Kozik. I too am a parent of a child with a disability, and I just want to say I'm so glad you're here. On this podcast, we talk about everything from receiving a new diagnosis to transitioning your older child out of school and beyond. This podcast is a project of Exceptional Lives, a nonprofit organization that supports families like yours. You can learn more about Exceptional Lives at our website, www.exceptionallives.org. I want to share a quote with you from a parent in Massachusetts. She told us, "I have four kids with IEPs. We've been involved with special education for 10 years, but when my daughter's school psychologist called after her three-year evaluation and told me we've diagnosed her with dysgraphia, I said, 'With what? I thought I knew the ropes, but this was brand new.'" This is a pretty common response to just hearing the word dysgraphia. Grab a seat and listen along as I talk about what it is, how to spot it, and what you can do at home and at school to support your child. There are different types of learning disabilities, and dysgraphia is a learning disability that is specific to writing. Dysgraphia is a neurological disorder of written expression that impairs writing abilities and fine motor skills. It's a learning disability that affects children and adults, and it interferes with practically all aspects of the writing process. Some people with dysgraphia struggle with spelling. They struggle with letter or word spacing and sizing. Their handwriting might be hard for others to read, and they might struggle with expressing their ideas in written form. For all people with dysgraphia, writing requires an incredible amount of energy, stamina, and time. Dysgraphia can get in the way of a student's ability to express their ideas. Writing is not a simple process. Expressing ourselves in writing requires many things to happen at once. There's organization, memory, attention, motor skills, and language abilities. When holding a pencil and forming each letter takes significant effort, there's less brain power available for all the other parts of writing. But what does that actually look like? It's a teacher that tells you your child needed to stay in from recess to finish an assignment. It's parents that notice that their child regularly does not complete their homework. It's even a student who says they have a hard time paying attention, or a student that expresses great ideas when they're talking, but their writing is much more simplistic and unclear. Imagine trying to complete an assignment, but the class is already moving on to the next topic. How frustrating would that be? So in our world of computers and voice-to-text, why does dysgraphia matter? This is a common question. Lots of adults are terrible spellers, or some just don't enjoy writing. We still need to create opportunities for children to build the skills that they need for writing, even if they're using accommodations in the classroom. Providing a student with an opportunity to use a laptop or speech-to-text is an excellent accommodation to support their ability to succeed in school without being bogged down with actually writing. Technology has come far, and classrooms are often equipped with alternatives for students that require support. If you feel as though your child could benefit from something like a laptop or a speech-to-text option, ask their teacher and they can help you start the process. A calmer, more relaxed, and supported student is an engaged learner. That's the goal, right? Accommodations help take away some of the stress of completing school assignments for dysgraphic students. But what happens when they're required to write? What if they're handed a form to fill out at a doctor's office? Or what if they're required to write a report with pen and paper for a future job? Stress response. But while they are learning and developing, we can help them develop writing skills and take some of that stress away that they may face later in life. So what's next? We've taken away the academic stress by implementing accommodations. You've decided that you will create time to give your child a chance to build the skill, but how? How do you help your child to develop their writing and overcoming their dysgraphia symptoms? You can start by talking to an occupational therapist, the provider who gave the diagnosis, or even your child's teacher to help get you connected with resources for your child. For many students, strength and dexterity or fine motor skills with fingers and hands are the most important part of an intervention program. Things like playing with Play-Doh help strengthen fingers and wrists. Incorporating sensory experiences while forming letters can be helpful. This may be using a sand tray or chalk on a chalkboard to trace letters. These multi-sensory practices help build physical and mental connections for your child since they are using more than one sense at a time. And for older students, believe it or not, learning cursive writing or script writing may be a great practice and control since they don't actually lift the pencil off the paper after each letter. Some students respond well to the rhythmic feel of cursive writing also. For more ideas for home, check out the OT Toolbox for activities to improve handwriting, and I'll be posting a link in the show notes on that. If you're wondering if your child's messy handwriting could be a sign of dysgraphia and you're in Louisiana or Massachusetts, you can use our resource directory to look for an assessment near you. If you're not in either one of those states, look for a psychologist that can do a full assessment of your child's cognitive and learning profile. As always, thank you for joining me again this week. I hope this information is insightful and helpful. And if you have any questions, drop me a line at podcasts@exceptionallives.org. This podcast was written by Julie McIsaac, PhD, learning and mental health consultant, and presented by me, Christina Kozik, for Exceptional Lives. You can subscribe and follow the podcast at our website, www.exceptionallives.org/justneedspodcast. Our website also has blogs, guides, upcoming events, and a resource directory for Massachusetts and Louisiana. We'd love for you to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Exceptional Lives. If you enjoyed this episode, please let us know by leaving a 5-star rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening.